The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. It's me, Dr. Steve Pettirudi, with Intellectual Medicine, here with Shannon on this beautiful, drizzly, white February morning. You gotta love snow in February. Well, you gotta find a way to love it, I guess, right? Because it's there. Snowiest month of the year is always February. Nick, how do you survive the snow, my friend? What do you do to get through a bleak, snowy winter?
Pray. Pray and just keep driving. Hopefully, try to get behind the snow plows.
So it's a spiritual interlude for you. I can get that. You ever get that sense of peace that happens after a big snow and everything is blanketed with snow and everything sort of stops? There's even a certain pleasure when all the power goes out. Now, you know, not for 5 days, but you know, just long enough to turn off the world. That'd be sort of cool. It'd be kind of cool if when the power went out, the internet would shut down too and you could do nothing.
That would be a nice reset.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
It does. You have no power. You have no internet.
Well, actually, technically, that's true. Because Wi-Fi goes down.
You could have internet. Your cell phone still works. So you're Facebooking. You're still on the internet on your cell phone.
Yeah, I guess.
You'd have good service.
Hey, you're coming in a little soft, Nick. How's our sound quality for you and for Shannon?
Good.
Okay. I think that, in fact, hey, I'm coming up with a great idea here. Maybe it's a bad idea, but I think we should have, like, a quiet time imposed on the whole populace. I think it'd be good for the mental health of the entire state and region, where you do a complete shutdown. We'll call it a faux power outage, where for, like, 4 hours on a given afternoon during the month, everything shuts down. What do you think, Shannon? You like
no,
that idea?
I don't like that at all. No.
I don't think it's going to catch fire. Well, folks, this is the place where you tune in each week to find out how to live to be 120. That's right. We don't mean that figuratively. We mean that literally. There's no reason, given the advance in science and technology, that we should not be expecting our lifespan and, more importantly, our youth span, that is the amount of time we spend dynamically healthy and young, to be extended. This is where intellectual medicine takes exception with the mainstream of medicine. The mainstream of medicine positions itself, that is, the absence of disease equals health. As long as you don't have cancer, you didn't have a heart attack, you're in good health. That's nonsense. We know that aging itself is the greatest detriment to your health. So how do you affect that arc? Well, this is a place where we talk about different means of achieving that. And this week and weeks to come, we're going to be announcing one of the most important initiatives at Intellectual Medicine, and that is the Cardiac and Stroke Prevention Initiative, the Cardiac Health Initiative. Folks, if all you're doing to assess your cardiac risk is looking at your cholesterol and blood pressure, you're practicing 1990s medicine. There's an old cliche that says, if you can't measure the things that's important, you give importance to the things you can measure. Now, Shannon, how many times you see somebody brag about their cholesterol level as if it's some type of a shield against a heart disease?
Oh, all the time.
All the time. My cholesterol is blah-bitty-blah. I don't have to worry. Yeah? You know what we call that? False comfort. Half of the people that get heart attacks have normal cholesterol. It's a variable, but it's only one. And it's what we call a shadow variable. It doesn't get to the issues that matter most, and that is what kind of shape are your arteries in? So we'll talk about that for a couple of minutes, and then we'll circle back to it. I also want to touch base on some other cancer screening issues. And boy, we still have to talk about that Burville power plant, speaking of disease and aging. You know, the environment we live in is not immediately in our control, but we can affect it by our own efforts. But first, back to heart disease. There's a test called a calcium score that can look at the heart directly. It's a CAT scan that can tell if calcium's building up in the arteries. Insurance doesn't pay for it. Most doctors don't know how to use it. Most of them don't know how to order it. that doesn't cost very much, and it can give you valuable information. If you see calcium building up on your arteries, there are issues to be dealt with. And in our center and intellectual medicine world, we address that non-pharmacologically in most cases with a combination of supplements that are known to help cardiovascular health, as well as intravenous treatments such as chelation therapy that has been shown in studies to help diminish the risks of heart attack and strokes. And we apply this thoughtfully to prevent bad outcomes. There's another study you haven't heard of up until now called pulse wave velocity. That measures the speed at which a sound wave moves through your arteries from your fingertip to the toe. It's a simple, non-invasive test. We do it at Intellectual Medicine. It takes about 10 minutes, and it can tell us roughly how old your arteries are, not chronologically, but physiologically. You feel great. You look great. Suppose you did the test. You found out your arteries are actually 70 years old and you're only 50. That's information that can help you and guide change that can help reverse the aging process of the arteries themselves. Andrew Taylor still was a founder of osteopathic medicine. He had a saying that the rule of the artery is supreme. Simply put, if you don't have blood, you don't have life. And the way blood affects our health can be subtle. It's the small capillaries, those little tiny arteries that transfer oxygen into the cells, that are most important and most difficult to assess. At Intellectual Medicine, we put these tools together and then design a means of keeping your arteries young. I had a guy who came in recently, Shannon. He's 72 years old. He looked like a Greek god, full head of hair, rippling muscles, full of vitality. And I said, you know, we got to look under the hood a little bit here. And we put him through the steps, and we found out he had a calcium score of 700. Normal is zero. There shouldn't be any calcium in your arteries at all. And we found out that he had stiffening arteries. Now, that was good information for him, because instead of waiting around for that first symptom, 50% of the time, the first symptom of heart disease is
heart attack.
Sudden death. Yeah,
isn't
you're right.
It, what's the stats? It's like 50% of people who have normal cholesterol have heart attacks.
That's correct.
Isn't it?
That's correct.
That's scary.
You can have a perfect cholesterol, mm-hmm. a perfect blood pressure. You can have no significant family history, and it can still hit you in your prime of life. So those are some of the reasons. And one of the reasons why we're seeing a decline in the lifespan of average Americans, not Intellectual Medicine. Intellectual Medicine, I told you, we're pushing for 120, and that's where we start. You know, if you're young enough and we get started soon enough, 150 is going to be within reach real soon. The reason is a lot to do with the obesity epidemic. And that is an area of glaring ignorance and omission by conventional medicine. If your doctor has ever told you to lose weight, ask him or her how. Tell me, doc, what's your prescription? And if your doctor says diet and exercise, you need another treatment. Diet and exercise has been recommended since the 1970s. It failed then, and it's failing now. If you need to lose significant weight, you need a medical support to help you get there. Now, after the break, we're going to be talking with Alda. She's going to share with us her journey, both what she's done at Intellectual Medicine and, most interestingly, what happened prior to it. Hey, Nick, how are we doing here? We got a couple minutes. Great. So stay tuned, and we'll be getting to that detail. This is most critical. You cannot live to be 120 unless you're at your healthiest weight. So many variables to assess health. You know what the most valuable thing you can do to judge your health? Put a tape measure around your waist. If I had one tool in my medical toolbox, it'd be a tape measure. If you're 40
I think you have that tool.
What's that, babe?
I think you have that tool.
I have that
several,
tool.
Several of
I
them.
Do?
Yes.
I do have a tape measure. But we have many others, too. But suppose I were restricted to only one.
Gotcha.
And they said, look, Dr. Pedrudi, you have to practice medicine, not with your percent body analyzer, not with your pulse wave velocity. First, I'd be in mourning because I love our toys that we've got, all the tools that we use to assess people. But that tape measure, if you're 40 inches or above as a man, 35 inches or above as a woman, you're at increased risk across the board for everything. Heart disease, cancer, you pick the variable. So meanwhile, we're fighting this good health fight, Shannon, and that stupid power plant up in Murrillville. They still are trying to build it. You know, the reason they're building it nominally is because there's a need for power in New England. They went to auction, and they tried to sell the power they intend to produce. You know what happened? Nobody bought it. Nobody bought it. They're producing a product that nobody wants. Why in Rhode Island have we subsidized windmills, and at the same time we're entertaining hosting this polluting plant that's going to be belching toxins into our air that we're going to suck in so people in Boston can have power? How is that good for Rhode Island? Folks, there's still time to stop this behemoth from happening. We need to get on board. Lobby your politicians. It doesn't need to be there. Once it's there, you can't get rid of it. It's going to start belching carcinogens into the air instantly. You know, they say it's going to burn natural gas.
Of course.
Yeah, natural gas.
Natural.
It can also burn other sources. And if they can't sell their power, what are they going to do? They're going to look for the cheapest way to make that power, even if it's dirty coal. You mark my words, in 3 years, when everybody's asleep at the wheel, they're going to swap their energy source if they need to. Don't let this thing get stuck in the middle of our densely populated state. Build windmills, not smokestacks. That's our rallying cry. I'd pay a couple bucks more for my energy for the sake of clean air. What do you think?
I would, too. Of course.
All right, folks. Well, listen, Roberval Power Plant, we are against it in intellectual medicine. It's harmful to our health and to our state. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back. We'll be talking to Alda, sharing her journey to better health. I'm Dr. Pedderudi. This is Intellectual Medicine at WPRO. But if this ever-changing world...
Please allow... WPRO's Operation Snowball has Southern New England's most complete and comprehensive storm coverage with up-to-the-minute school and business closings and traffic updates you can rely on. Sponsored by Car John Heating and Air Conditioning and Eastside Clinical Labs. Operation Snowball on the voice of Southern New England, WPRO.
Well done, Nick. Well done. Operation Snowball, WPRO here to serve you folks. Keeping you informed and up to date. Yes, indeed. It's bad weather out there. What can we say?
February. It's New England.
It's February. It's snowing in New England. It would be news if it were snowing in June. That'd be news.
That would be news.
Otherwise, we just call this weather, right? So, Shan, what do you do to get through this winter? How do you survive it?
Go to Aruba.
We did. We did, folks. We did go to Aruba. That was fantastic. Weather was beautiful. Well, it's Aruba, right? That's what they have going for them.
They do.
I can't imagine living on an island where I'd go nuts.
Yeah, perfect every day.
I mean, how many times can you kite surf before you, like, look for something else to do?
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah. And their television, what do they have? They had monster trucks.
Oh, my gosh.
That's their sport. Monster trucks, stock car racing, a little bit of soccer. No football, nothing.
Nope.
That was scary. How about you, Nick? How do you get through a winter other than praying? Do you ski? Do you go to the islands?
Spend a lot of time listening to music and studying, pretty much. I keep myself busy with little things.
You know, it's true. During the wintertime, people can get depressed. And they have found that vitamin D can sometimes alleviate mood. I think that's very interesting. You know, we always thought it was the sunshine that did it. Maybe it has something to do with the vitamin D. That makes sense when you consider vitamin D is fat soluble and that the brain has primarily fat in it. And it may well have effects that can help. Going to Aruba doesn't hurt, though, does it?
No, it doesn't. But here we are now.
Here we are.
Here we are.
Although, you know, when you go and you get that nice dose of sunshine, the vitamin D that you make can last you for weeks. So maybe that's it. Maybe we can get going to Aruba as a medical write-off. What do you think?
I think so.
Vitamin D dosing.
Right.
Anyhow, we have on the radio with us Alda. We're going to be discussing her journey. Good morning, Alda. Thanks for joining us on Intellectual Medicine.
Hi, Dr. Pedderudi. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for getting up early. I know you worked late last night, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Now tell me, how do you get through the winter? How do you survive these dark days?
I do take vitamin D. It does help, and I work out.
So you like going to the gym. That's fantastic. Now, do you ski at all?
No, I've tried it, and I didn't care for it.
It's okay. What do you think, Shannon? Are you in agreement?
With all these injuries lately, just makes me more nervous now. I mean, it's pretty. You're up there. It's cold.
You know, the right gear. I'm going to put in a plug here for Yagu. Those poor boys down there in Rhode Island running a ski resort in Rhode Island. That's like running a beach resort in New Brunswick, right?
It is, but it's such a cute little place.
Isn't it adorable?
It really is.
Because you've enjoyed it there.
I have. Yep. Boys love snowboarding. It's a perfect little hill to start. Yep. And look at all the snow. They must be super psyched. And they have that whole snow tubing park.
They do. No, and they also have a nice little lounge, as I recall.
They do.
Yeah,
they do.
And they've got a big stone fireplace. So there you go, folks. A Rhode Island original. It's Yagu Valley. Go down there and do some skiing. So there you go. You can go down and do some snow tubing later.
I'd rather go to Aruba.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see what we can do about that, too, Alda. So thanks for joining us. And, you know, our listeners might be very interested, Alda, in learning from your experience. You know, so often people are frustrated as they're trying to address the issue of excess weight and obesity. They go to see their doctor, and it can be a very disheartening experience. I thought you could start telling us a little bit about some of the things that you did before you and I met and some of the ways in which your docs may have guided you or really not guided you.
Well, basically, they told me to, like, lose weight, diet, and exercise. That was the big thing.
Yeah.
I did try the Jenny Craig, the Nutrisystem. You name it, I tried it, basically, and then nothing really worked. It worked, like, for a time, and then I gained the weight back. But I wanted something that I could maintain for the rest of my life and not go up and down.
Now, how long had you been battling the weight issue for, Alda?
After I had my daughter, it became an issue. My hormones became out of whack, I guess. I don't know. But before that, I was always very thin.
Yep. So this came on. It's what we call type 2 obesity. Type 2 is a type that occurs in midlife as the metabolism slows down. There's a little bit of a type 3 overlay, which includes hormonal changes, much more common in women than men. There are times after childbirth where there can be an abrupt change in the hormonal support of your body. And without properly addressing that hormonal need, the efforts at weight loss are invariably going to be frustrated. Now, how did it make you feel when your doc told you to do diet and exercise?
He's actually a very nice doctor.
Yeah.
He doesn't approach it, like, in a rude, aggressive way. He was kind of nice. He's always like, you know, try exercising, you know, just suggest as a suggestion.
That's great. So he was empathic. He was caring.
Yeah, he's caring. He's not, excuse me, he's not, like, aggressive and mean about it.
Good. So there you are. And how did you find us? What made you decide to try intellectual medicine?
Well, I had seen your ads on Facebook here and there, and then I just came to a point recently that I just was so frustrated, and I felt like I had hit a wall, and I felt helpless and hopeless.
Now, how much weight have you lost so far?
I think it's like 40-some pounds. I'm close to 50.
Now, the important question we always ask our people working with is, can you live this way? This is not a diet. This is your new life. And can you live like this?
Oh, yes. I don't even think of food the way I used to think. I think of this as just my everyday life now.
Now, was it hard for you to make that first call? A lot of times people look at weight loss treatments, and because they've been burned in the past, it can be harder to sort of reinvest in that process. No, you must have been thinking to yourself, sure, I've been down this road before. Was that a difficult bridge to cross?
Yeah, but, you know, when you're frustrated, well, I'm one of those people, I don't like to give up. I'll keep on trying, so I'm pretty persistent.
Yep.
So, yeah, I was like, I got a mindset, I'm going to do this no matter what.
And we're using a mixture of some supplements and prescription medicines. Was that a difficult concept to embrace, the idea that excess weight is really a medical condition as much as a lifestyle one?
That was a little challenging at first, yeah. I was like, this is not going to help me lose weight. And you saying that you don't need to exercise necessarily to lose weight, nutrition was the most important thing, and I'm like, I was a little hesitant about that.
That can be a hard concept. It's not that we don't like exercise, we enjoy it and encourage it, but it doesn't help weight reduction. It is very minimal, that is, in its impact. So a lot of folks will say, well, I want to I want to exercise to lose weight. The opposite is the case. You want to lose weight so you can't exercise. Well, we've got to go to our break, Alda, but I want to thank you for sharing this time with us. And I'd like to invite you to come back in the future so you can update our listeners on how you're doing. Would that be okay?
That would be fine.
That's great. Folks, thanks for Alda. I'm Dr. Pedrini. Next up, Doug Lozette from the Seascape News Center. WPRO carries on.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pedderudi. Join Dr. Pedderudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pedderudi.
Hello, everybody. I am back. This is WPRO, the voice of Southern New England. I am Dr. Steve Pedderudi of Intellectual Medicine, along with Shannon and with Nick joining us behind the glass at the throttles. So we were just talking with Alda about her journey in weight loss. Folks, obesity is not a character flaw. It is not a deficit of self-discipline. It is a complex neurologic and hormonal disorder that requires treatment in most cases to affect permanent change. You need to lose 10 pounds, you want to get in shape, going to the beach, fine. Go to the gym, exercise, change diet, you'll get it done. You need to lose 50 pounds, 20% of your body weight. It ain't happening through diet and exercise in 99.9% of the cases. How do I know that? Because I studied it for 25 years and the research studies back me up. And the clinical outcomes back me up. And if you're listening to this and you've struggled with your weight, your own experience backs me up. A program doesn't work if you lose weight while in it and then gain it thereafter. That, folks, is a definition of failure. It has to become a permanent, durable, sustainable change. And because obesity is a chronic medical condition, it requires open-ended support. These are the major flaws in the current approach. They're the flaws that have been around since the 1970s. They are the flaws that doctors don't comprehend. And really, they're not equipped to deal with this. The insurance-based apparatus, seeing a doctor, getting a pill, and then seeing him again in a month or two, is not going to work. It never has, it never will. And you can make an argument that this is part of your responsibility to live healthfully. Let me rephrase that. Your choice. If you choose to take a pathway to healthier living, it's your prerogative. It's not necessarily incumbent upon someone else to pay for that. I know that a lot of people think, well, if you paid for the weight loss, I wouldn't get a heart attack and it would save money. That's false thinking. What the insurance companies know is preventive medicine does not save money. It costs money. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't care about our health. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't take the step beyond the small, tight little envelope that they're trying to command us into. The reason why intellectual medicine exists is because of freedom. And the opportunity to take science at its most advanced state and apply it to our health right now. That's how we solve the problem with obesity. We solved it. I'd say we've cured obesity, Shannon.
I would say so.
So we have the cure.
We do.
We're over 95% success rate.
Mm-hmm.
Durable. Regain rates are non-existent. 75% of the people, after graduating the program, continue to lose weight. The other 25% don't gain any significant weight. Pretty damn spectacular.
It really is.
And you know what? Nobody had surgery. Nobody's getting cut open.
Right.
There are no morbidities. Nobody's died. Nobody's going to the emergency room because they had postoperative bleeding. These are not circles. These are linear pathways. Well, I could talk about the weight loss piece a long time because it is a passion for us, but it is only a piece of that total puzzle. Right? You want to command your weight. You want to get your hormones corrected. You want to look at your arterial anti-aging. And at Intellectual Medicine, we have, to my knowledge, one of the only, if not the only, arterial anti-aging program around.
I believe you're correct.
I think so. Now, if I'm incorrect, then I invite correction. However, nobody has the combination of studies that we do, along with the means to intervene in a healthy and proactive way to prevent arterial aging. Now, when I say arterial aging, think dementia. The brain accounts for 20% of your blood flow. Bad arteries make for bad brains. So we're connecting all of these dots every day. So if you want to join our conversation, if you have any questions, hey, Nick, what's our phone number if people want to call in?
438-9776, and then toll-free 1-800-321-WPRO.
There you go. Well, we're talking about things that make us feel good through the winter, and certainly one of them had to be the Patriots' victory. Shannon, were you thrilled by that victory? Did you love watching every play?
I can't believe halftime. Just, I was done. I was done.
Yeah, but in the back of your mind, you were thinking, man, they could come back.
No, I actually wasn't
and
at
you were,
all.
You were excited by that game.
It was very exciting. Then, if you weren't so, you know, no, they have a chance. Like, they do not have a chance. You don't come back from that. They did.
What do you think, Nick? Were you hopeful or hopeless?
I'll admit, I gave up 75% of my hope, but I was doing the math in my head, and I'm trying to figure out how the drives would time out. And I knew you can never put Brady out. He's always been missing that fourth quarter Eli Manning drive.
Yep.
And he finally got it. Like, he finally got it in the Super Bowl.
Perfect. You're right. You know, and Shannon was so excited, ladies and gentlemen, that she fell sound asleep.
All right. Well, I mean, it was 25 points.
Sound
Come
asleep.
Come on. And then I woke up and they scored, and I said, well, I have to go back to sleep because now I'm just superstitious. If I'm awake, they're going to do terrible. And it'll work. Did it not work?
It did. We're very thoughtful of you
Thank
to
you.
Sleep on
Thank
behalf
you.
Of the Patriots.
That was it for me. I didn't move from my seat on the couch after they scored at the end of the third quarter.
You don't. You don't move. You don't. I know.
So we're
thank you. You can thank us.
We can thank us. Yeah. Intellectual medicine is definitely at the forefront of Patriot Nation.
Why Brady did so well. Yes.
Why he did so well. And we believed in our team so much, folks. I want you to know that we put $100 right
We did.
With a totally legal in Aruba.
It was. Very cool at a kiosk.
Little kiosk.
You just bet.
We just bet. We won $90.
We did.
How about that? So there you go. Maybe we'll like take that up as a side thing. No, world's worst gambler. But anyhow, I want to highlight a detail. So we're talking about permanent behavioral change. The research has been done. It takes 10 encounters of ongoing guidance to affect significant change in any one particular behavior, on average. So if you're looking to alter a habit, if you're looking to alter an eating pattern, then this type of persistence is required. Now comes this individual. I gotta get this out there. This is just too ridiculous for me not to like put down. Who wants Rhode Island to mandate a class for folks that are getting divorced so that they'll be better parents? A parenting class. So you're in the midst of this divorce. You're at maybe conflict with your soon-to-be ex, and you go to a class, and that's going to magically make it all better. A mandated, state-mandated class that you have to pay for.
Ridiculous.
That exists in some other states. This is a great example of a good concept with just a horrible idea. The concept of parenting well is a good one. The idea that divorced parents should get along would definitely help children. The notion that a class is going to change anybody's predetermined behaviors is a lark.
Mandated class,
a state getting even further involved in your personal life. Listen, I'm all for healthy living, but we stand firmly against false comforts, artificial solutions. I'm going to talk about a false comfort when it comes to medicine, something that will help protect you from medicine. But first we have Mary from Foster. Good morning, Mary. It's Dr. Pettirudi. How are you doing today?
I'm not really moving around too much, but I'm sitting on the edge of the bed.
You're sitting on the edge, not moving around much because of the cold weather or just
general? No. I only don't get up till 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, well, thank you for getting up a little bit early and joining us. What's on your mind this morning, Mary?
Well, you was talking about I don't know what. I didn't quite understand, but when you said call, I like to call the station.
Well, we enjoy hearing from you all the time. And what we were talking about earlier, Mary, that may have been interesting you, was arterial anti-aging. And that had to do with means of keeping arteries young.
Yeah.
And you're never too old to get younger than you are. That's one of our beliefs in intellectual medicine.
Do you know how old I am?
Why don't you tell me?
86.
86. That's fantastic. That means, according to intellectual medicine standards, you'd be roughly middle-aged. And we expect you to be around for another 40 years. How's that sound?
Well, I thought 110 would be nice.
Well, all right. Now, here's how you're going to get there.
Okay.
First, tell us, you've gotten to be 86. What is your secret for longevity?
I just get up every morning, have my breakfast, see what my next job is going to be, and keep going until 1 o'clock.
So that's one of the key elements, keeping going.
You can't
be settled in idle in retirement. Mary, we're going to take your advice, and we're going to amplify it, and you keep listening. And you're going to be hearing about other ideas that will help extend lifespan.
Yeah.
One of the things that afflicts people as they get older is infirmity, weakness. There's a condition called sarcopenia. As you get older, you lose muscle.
Yeah.
The bones get thin. It gets harder to go up and down stairs.
Well, I can't use the stairs at all now. I have to use a walker 24 hours a day.
Well, that is fortunate that you have the walker and that you're still persevering. Yeah. In intellectual medicine, we use the approach of enhancing strength and power through treatments that build muscle, including replacement of hormones. Even in the 80s, getting your bioidentical hormones on board can make you stronger. So, Mary, thanks for the call in. It's been great having you, and we'll look forward to chatting again. So we got to protect people, though. This is false comfort is a big issue for me.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that you're going to go and you're going to get a one-day class and you're going to magically be a better parent, or you're going to get your cholesterol checked and you're magically going to be protected. There's another false comfort out there. We've talked about mammograms and our belief that that is largely a false comfort, that it is a study that causes more harm than good, and that for the vast majority of women, it's worthy to consider not doing it at all. We're going to continue to expand that conversation over the months to come. But when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about lung cancer screening and another false comfort. Folks, I'm Dr. Steve Pettirudi. This is Intellectual Medicine. You're listening to WPRO, the voice of Southern New England. And we are back. Ah, the tunes of summer. You ever notice, Shannon, how there are songs associated with summertime, but there are none associated with winter?
No. No, no one wants to go back there. It's not a thought that you want.
They don't connect to, you know, the summer hits. You know, there's always a song or two that stamps itself with summertime.
It is. Where's the winter song?
What was last summer's big hit? It was...
Timberlake?
No. What was last summer's big hit? You're a song guy, Nick. What was that, we're up all night to get lucky? Right.
No. Daft Punk and Pharrell.
Wasn't that last summer?
Lucky, yeah.
Lucky.
That was it last summer or was it the summer before? It was really big last summer, but I think it came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, there you go.
That was Pharrell, man. I love Pharrell.
So good.
It's good. See, it makes us happy thinking about
it
the
does.
Summer. We just play
it
that
does.
Song. We get a little Pharrell during the next... No, we have our signature sign-off after this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we
got to
go
save
with
it
that.
For next week.
Save for next week. So here we go. A highlight on a false comfort. There's a study out there. It was done from the U.S. Preventive Task Forces. No, this was a VA study from the VA. They looked at 2,100 patients, and they did what's known as a high-resolution CAT scan to screen them for cancer. These are in smokers, people considered to be high risk. And out of those 2,100 people, they identified 20 with early-stage cancer. Now, you might think that's a pretty good thing. Here's the problem. Over half of them, over 1,000 people, had abnormalities that turned out not to be cancer. But in the course of doing the screening test, they were forced to undergo further testing, in some cases biopsies, in some cases surgery, for false positive testing. That's what we talk about, a screening study that does harm. When you're screening smokers for lung cancer, you're giving them false comfort. A negative CAT scan doesn't mean they don't have cancer. It just means it can't be seen in that moment. We also know that smoking is an increased risk factor for all forms of cancer. At Intellectual Medicine, we believe in precise screening that has a tangible benefit to the patient with no risk. Thus, our arterial anti-aging program fulfills that criteria. We're capable of uncovering the presence of arterial aging and reversing the process. Likewise, when it comes to cancer screening, we'll be talking in the future about the liquid biopsy. Taking blood and being able to determine, or at least help us determine, the likelihood or whether or not there's cancer present. We believe in going after the disease before it even begins. Thus, weight loss is known to be connected to 14 different forms of cancer. You want to do cancer prevention? Yes, you come off your cigarettes. Yes, you can do some exercise, shown to be a benefit. Then getting your weight to its target. Now, we had a call from Debbie from Coventry regarding a ketogenic diet. Ketogenic is when you eat in a manner that generates ketosis. That is, your body shifts from using glucose as its main source of energy to fatty acids. When that happens, it has an effect on the brain that blunts hunger. So you can survive on extraordinarily low energy intake. To achieve ketosis, you have to avoid nearly all forms of carbohydrates, including, in many cases, fruits, all bread, pastas. You have to avoid them all. This was the core of the Atkins diet. Dr. Atkins deserves credit for being a pioneer thinker. And at a time when people were talking about calories, he was talking about food types and taking note of the fact that what we eat matters almost as much as how much of what we eat. So what he proved is that on a ketosis diet, you can lose weight, your cholesterol can go down, your blood pressure can go down. And this confounded experts at the time because, of course, everybody was thinking meat is bad, and a ketosis diet usually is very meat heavy. Well, here's the problem, Debbie. It's not sustainable. We firmly advocate a durable lifestyle, a durable nutritional change over ketosis. Ketosis is artificial, brief, and only transiently effective. I've never known any individual that could maintain a ketotic eating pattern for the span of their lives. It is impossible. If you're what you're seeking is to make yourself healthier and lose weight, you do not want a temporary solution to a permanent problem. So therefore, we do not advocate ketosis. We do not advocate the very low-calorie diets. These 500-calorie diets shrink your organs, shrink your brain, your muscles, and your bone. And you don't get that back after you come off of that 500-calorie deprivation. So that hopefully gives you a little insight into ketosis. Dr. Atkins, wonderful guy. I met him at some conferences, and he was, like I say, a pioneering thinker. And I give him a lot of credit for bucking the dogma. And I have to tell you, people were angry at him.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't like what he was espousing.
No.
You know, people cling tightly to their dogma. It was Max Planck, the famous scientist, who said you don't convince other scientists and other thought leaders that their idea is wrong and your idea is better through argument with them. You convince them by waiting for them to die off and having young people come up with new ideas. That's a paraphrase. So we're against the cancer screening. Speaking about meat, they did find recently that looking at different types of meat seems to correlate strongly with the risk for disease. Specifically, they found that processed meats increase the rate of heart disease by 42%. They did not find that increase with unprocessed meat. So when you hear these blanket admonitions, well, you know, you can't eat meat. Well, the type of meat you eat matters a bunch. Now, a processed meat is anything that has been cured, salted, or preserved. Think cold cuts or deli meats in many cases, unless they're specifically unprocessed. Think hot dogs, sausages, any meat that is smoked, salted, or cured. When you eat those products, and it may well be the salting, the curing, and the nitrates that are used as preservatives, that's where the risks seem to be. Unprocessed meat, a nice cut of steak, seems not to have that same risk associated with it. You want to go a step beyond that? You need meat from animals that are lovingly raised. An animal that has been well cared for through the span of its life is going to grow meat that is much healthier and less inflammatory. So some highlights for you to contemplate as you're in the meat market. It's really hard to find that kind of meat out there.
It is. It is, especially in Rhode Island. Maybe Midwest.
Well, you know, there are resources in Rhode Island. There are some small local farmers. Mm-hmm. And if you do your homework, and we're going to be talking about them in the weeks to come because we believe in this, that what we eat and the way the animals are raised affects our health directly. So we'll be talking about that. We don't have enough time to expand upon it today. But we want to leave you with a few thoughts. What thoughts? Why it's Valentine's Day coming up?
Yeah, you lucked out with that one, marrying me.
Well, you're not a big Valentine's.
I'm not.
You don't
I'm
like
not.
Hearts.
I don't.
You don't.
I don't.
Like, don't like
cheesy.
Roses.
No. Oh my gosh. No. So, never.
You know, when I don't give you hearts and roses, I'm good to go. Right.
That's right.
Look, that's just for Shannon. You know, whatever's happened in your world, make sure you're tuned in, and make sure you tune in to us each week. I'm Dr. Pettirudi with Shannon. This is Intellectual Medicine. Up next, Big Blue Bug Solution to Tony DeJesus. What bug could live in this weather, Shannon? I don't know.
I can't imagine. Except now they're all inside.
We're going to see you next week. Thanks, Nick, and everybody helping out today. We'll see you next week.